Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in, everybody. It is episode 3 of Curbcast. We started this mid-season. Me, Robbie the Degenerate, we recap Curb Your Enthusiasm. I apologize for the lateness of this episode this week. It's been a crazy week. Monday, I had to go to Jupiter. We typically do it on Tuesdays. I was wiped out from that day. Then yesterday, I had to go interview Pat Riley and Udonis Haslem. Yeah, Robbie,
I feel like it's more important.
Honestly, this is pretty damn fun. So that's why we're getting to it. So Curb Your Enthusiasm, episode 5 of the season. And we open up here. So Larry David is getting he finds an old thing from his mother, which is known as a stole?
A stole, yeah.
I never heard of such a thing. A stole is like a shoulder wrap? Is that what the hell?
Yeah, it's like a hybrid between a scarf and a jacket, but it's like a big giant fur stole.
Yeah.
At first he finds like his old glove as a setup to that, and Leon said he must have had polio because nobody else with that kind of club would have otherwise. And then he finds his mom's old stole that she wore way back in the day in the 40s, and Leon's like, man, if you were in a stole, man, you're doing good.
Yeah,
you're looking hot.
Boopy-doo.
Yeah, whoop-whoopity-doo.
So he gets the stole. Then the mailman, who he's already been beefing with this season, the mailman doesn't like Larry David.
Yeah, because he showed up in shorts one time, and he couldn't take him seriously.
Right. Which is like, these are standard issue. This is standard issue with the mailman wear. And so the mailman had some kind of a look on him, like he knew something was up with this package. Sure enough, it's a blow-up doll. And yeah. So who's the guy? Let's jump ahead a little bit. So Vince Vaughn, what is his character?
He is one of Funkhauser's, Marty Funkhauser's brother, which, by the way, they still have been.
So they just keep roping in Funkhauser relatives.
Yeah. And they have Uncle Moke.
We'll get to Uncle Moke and his addiction that comes forth. So Funkhauser's cousin, that's what he is?
Yeah, it's Funkhauser's cousin.
So Funkhauser's cousin sends Larry David a blow-up doll for some reason. He sent it as a joke?
Yeah.
That's the one problem with doing Curbcast on Thursday. My mind is not as fresh. he sent it to him as a joke. And
I think he sent it for real, too.
Just send it, take it for a spin.
Yeah.
So they get the suspicious thing from the mailman. And so this is going to set up things for later on. He's just got the blow-up doll there. He has no interest in it. You know, him and Leon are gallivanting around.
He wants Leon to get rid of it, but he just...
Yeah, and Leon won't. Leon's going to get attached to this blow-up doll. We then end up in the back at Latte Larry's, mm-hmm. where he is with the
handyman?
The handyman, yeah.
They're building the bathrooms.
Right. What is that guy's name? Andrew and Santino, I think is the comedian's name. And he is... He's trying to come up with a bathroom design for a urinal that won't have splashback.
Yeah, that's why you have the stool, the step up, the platform.
It has the platform, and then it's going to have a penis detector.
because he doesn't want it, he wants no defecating in the store.
Yeah.
He only wants number one, and so one of the things to prevent people from doing a number two in the urinal is to have a penis detector, like a scanner, and says when you pull out the penis, it scans open, and then you can go.
I don't even understand. Like a penis scanner. First of all, if somebody saw a urinal, why would they try and boop in it? It makes no sense.
Well, if there's no place to boop, you have no choice, and you don't want to leave the store.
I guess I've never really been in a scenario where I've gone into a bathroom and there's been no place to poop. But that's just look, I understand it. If you're a place of business, just be like, yeah, like I wouldn't want to have to deal with defecation in bathrooms. So. I think that's why most places just don't open up their restrooms to customers. I understand it, but, you know, penis detector. What?
Yeah, and the thing slides open, and then it slides back, and what if the penis is still there when it slides back?
Like, I don't know. Yeah, the thing did look a bit like a guillotine.
It did.
Like, it was a little dangerous looking.
And Leon said it was too short, and it wouldn't be long enough.
Leon's packing a hose in there, man. Then, in the midst of Mocha Joe's, after they get the idea for the penis detector urinal cube, we meet the rival of the seasons, Ted Danson and Mocha Joe. These are Larry's two enemies this year. This is why he's even got this store, Latte Larry's, his spite store. And Ted Danson, fresh off of Larry David having sex with his ex-wife, who is Ted Danson's current girlfriend, Cheryl, Ted Danson has let Larry know that he is now financially backing Mocha Joe. What did he
was spiting the spite store.
He's spiting the spite store. So Ted Danson is not – he is looking to end Larry
David. He's out for blood.
He's out for blood. He's trying to take him down. So listen, this is going to lead to a huge standoff, yeah. I'm sure. Ted Danson will make an appearance a little bit later on in the episode. Then Larry David heads over to Susie's and to Jeff's and has this housekeeper. Oh, because in the beginning of the episode, he leaves his house. The house is a mess.
Yeah.
He's talking about, we need to clean this house, get rid of that doll. That's what he tells to Leon. So, and he ends up going to Susie's, and Susie has this housekeeper. She's amazing, doing a great job. And so she goes, "Leh." She goes, "Tuesdays and Thursdays just opened up. Mondays and Wednesdays are mine." So he's like, "Oh, okay, fantastic." Yeah. Tuesdays, Thursdays, he's got no problem with it. So he ends up with the cleaning lady working at his house, and she lets him know after a brief time that she is, well, for, does she walk in on the sex dolls already on the couch? Is that what happens at first? Before she wants to dump Susie?
Well, because she wants to dump Susie because she doesn't stop swearing.
Yeah, Susie curses too much.
Yeah, way too much, and she can't take it anymore. It's F this, F that, F this, F that, F bomb this.
So she wants to dump Susie. So she goes, "Larry, I want to, Mr. Larry, I want to move to Mondays and Wednesdays." He goes, "That's Susie's dad.
That's our broker agreement."
Broker agreement. She goes, "I'm leaving her no matter what." And he goes, "Well, if you're gonna leave her no matter what, damage is done, my friend." Damage is done, my friend. Is our friend.
And she wants to get another family in for Tuesdays and Thursdays, and Larry to Monday and Wednesdays.
So he's gonna keep her, but. So do you remember what Leon named the sex doll? I forget.
Oh, I forget that. I forget that too.
He named the sex doll something.
Yeah.
He named the sex doll something, and it ended up being a thing where, like, he has to explain the sex doll to the cleaning lady, and because something was lost in translation. He's like, "Oh yeah, it's like American Doll, you know, it just has no clothes on right now, you know, as decoration or furniture." So there's that. We end up back with we end up at the part of the show where we have after he gets the housekeeper, he ends up with Vince Vaughn, who is Funkhauser's half brother, the one who sent him the sex doll in the first place. And while he's there, who is it? It's Uncle Moke. So they're at a magazine stand, which
old school.
I didn't even believe people had these days. And Uncle Moke is looking at the old porn.
And browsing's not allowed.
Browsing's not allowed. It's the old school porn, though. We're talking like the Playboys. I don't know who uses these anymore. I mean, I haven't looked at a Playboy since I was 15.
Yeah,
15, 16.
Yeah,
it's been a while. And I mean, you know,
and Larry David tells Moke, Uncle Moke this. He's like, "Hey, bro, we don't.
Yeah, nobody does this anymore.
Internet has
what are you talking about?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? One click away, all of this stuff." And so this blows Uncle Moke's mind. He's like, "What?" It reminded me very much. Did you watch Ray Donovan?
I haven't watched Ray Donovan.
Ray Donovan's a great show, but Ray Donovan, the first episode was John Voight, and it's John Voight. He plays this guy, Mickey Donovan. He's the main character is Ray Donovan, obviously. Mickey Donovan's his father, and basically is his arch nemesis throughout the show. He hates his father's guts. His father gets out of jail, and the first thing that he does is he ends up at a library, learns about the internet, and looks up porn, and he goes, "I've heard all the rage is this twerking," and so it's just naked girls, big asses, just twerking on the internet. He is just in a public library watching this because he has no other way to get the internet. He's just heard of it, so he didn't know it was inappropriate. That's what Uncle Moke was going through. He's just learning.
He's just learning. Oh, wow, internet porn, everything he wants, like all the magazine store, just one click.
It's pretty crazy. You kids don't know what it's like these days with the porn. It's just, it's the world is your oyster. It's the categories, algorithms, you know. You were lucky if you had something, with certain outfit on one day, you know. Usually it was just this, that, a couple of categories. MILF was all the rage back in the day. You know, you don't know what it's like these days. Uncle Moke, he gets to go. The good thing about Uncle Moke, he gets to go. The world is his oyster. Everything is his. It's great.
But as we'll get to later on, he likes it a little bit too much.
He does. He becomes addicted. So We have that. Then they end up at a he's ended up at a lunch with Richard Lewis. Apparently,
of course.
This is the one that they're going to fight over, though. He's got other problems with this one.
Oh yeah.
So at this restaurant, he's at this restaurant with Richard Lewis
and his girlfriend
Carol. Is that
yeah,
her name? And Carol is it Isla Fisher? Is that it?
From Wedding Crashers. Yeah,
Wedding Crashers. Sacha Baron Cohen's wife.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that.
I think they're still married. I think they're still married. Yeah.
Pretty
Whatever.
Sure.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Anyway, so she's there, and she is, which is funny because Vince Vaughn is in the episode.
Yeah.
I wonder if you suggested her.
You know what makes for. Well, why wasn't Owen Wilson in there too? You know,
might as well.
Yeah.
Might as well. So she's there, and so. Can you explain the professional crier thing? This is her job.
It's her job. It's to be a professional. Like, she goes to funerals, weddings, and she just goes around from place to place and events, and she just puts on a show. She's just bawling out, crying to me.
So she's a professional crier, and so how did it end up that she ended up swindling her way into the
because
stall?
First off, the where they were at the heat monitor they were arguing with the table
right
next to them.
Yeah, he goes, it's a shared heat it's a shared heat lamp. He goes, we have seven people. He goes, what does that matter? He says, shared.
It's like we're hot over here. Like they were a little cold. She was complaining about being cold, too cold, so they wanted to turn the heat monitor on, but the table next to them wouldn't allow it.
Right.
And that started.
Okay.
All
so
wrong.
Did he go get the stole, and then she ended up like telling the story about it?
Yeah. He went. He's like, you know what? Larry Day's like, you know what? I got my mother's stole in the car. I'll go get it. And he went over, got the stole, gave it to her, and then she went into her mode. She starts telling this story, and she says that she starts crying her eyes out. And they remind her of her mother and how she went to. So that stole was in the middle of a trade track.
Right. And then he goes, you keep it. And then she's like, great. And then that's it. No more crying. She could turn it off on a dime.
Yeah. She's like, oh, great. I got to go to work now.
Right.
And then later on, Richard Lewis tells him, he's like, that she's a professional crier.
That's her job.
Yeah, that's her job. I think I just got played.
So he knows he got duped. So we have that. And then we get to the point. So Larry's back at Susie's place. He's claiming he's a great dishwasher. He could be a great dishwasher.
Oh yeah, because Susie's upset that she lost the housekeeper.
Right.
So Larry David volunteers to do all the dry cleaning, wash the dishes.
Yeah, no big deal. I'm a great dishwasher. and then they end up finding out that so he went to the play in the midst of this. They went to this play with Clive Owen.
That's Jeff's new client.
Yeah, Jeff's new client is Clive Owen. He's doing this play. It's going to open soon, big open, and. You know, Larry went to the play and apparently didn't give he gave insufficient praise.
Yeah, because he went to the play. They all thought the play was great. Like, there's people in tears all over the place. And then, you know, he goes to Jeff the next day and he's like, oh, man, that was terrific. Man, that was really good. And then Larry David tells Jeff, hey, you mind telling Clive Owen how great it was? And then he goes, I'll do you one better. Why don't you tell him yourself? So he gives the phone to Larry David and he calls Clive Owen and it goes straight to voicemail and he just goes, oh, I was at your play last night. Good job. And that was the end of the voicemail.
That's you know who reminds me of that? That's I'm not gonna say any names, but his name rhymes with Glenn. Glenn has a little insufficient praise in him.
He does. You know, I can see him doing that.
He'll be like, you know, you'll do something like I got for the Pat Riley interview. He goes, good job.
Good job.
I'm like, oh, good job. Yeah. One-on-one exclusive Pat Riley and Dwayne Wade week. Okay, yeah, good job. Good job.
Yeah.
They'd be like, and then he even spun it on me today. He goes, did you guys see the push notifications? Like, yeah, no, I didn't. I saw the 100 retweets we got, but no, yes, push notifications. So
it's
good job. Praise. I'm very familiar with it.
And so, yeah, Clive Owen, he freaks out.
Freaks out.
He's in a mess. Like,
doesn't have his fastball anymore. He's like, he's shook by Larry's insufficient praise.
Like, what kind of? He's like, and then he comes over to dinner and with the sandwiches, and then Larry David's trying to explain to Clive Owen, I give that praise to everybody all the time. Like, that's just how I give praise. And then Larry David takes one bite of the sandwich and he goes over the top. He's like, oh my God, this is like the best sandwich I've ever had. And then Clive Owen gets so pissed, he walks out.
Okay, then we have, then we get to the point where the mailman, okay, so the mailman delivers something to Ted Danson's house.
Yeah.
And he lets Ted Danson know about the sex doll. And he goes, how do you know that? And he goes, discreet packaging. Mailmen know. Which, I got to tell you, they obviously do know.
Yeah.
They obviously do know. It's one of those things where, You've been in the business long enough. You just know, you know? It's like when you have the sense that somebody's going to curse in one of our interviews. You just know it's going to happen.
Rick Masvidal.
You just got a feeling it's going to happen. So Ted Danson, being the bastard that he is and wanting revenge on Larry David, he goes and rats on Larry David to Cheryl.
He's like, I come here as a friend. I'm so mad about what you did, but I come here as a friend to let you know that Larry David has a blow-up doll.
Oh, man. So we have that. So Larry is, and I think he's, I'm lost here on my notes. This is where my notes end, Robbie. I think this is where I initially dozed off before I finished the episode. I believe then does he end up in a car with Funkhauser's half-brother, and he goes, we got a real problem.
Yeah. Vince Vaughn, Funkhauser's brother, pulls up next to him in another car in a convertible. He's like, hey, bro, we got a problem. Uncle Moak, he's addicted to this porn.
He goes, what are you going to do about it? Larry's reaction is so appropriate to this. Like, what do you want me to do about it? Like, I told him about porn. I have to solve his problem. Yes. What do you want me to? The damage is done, my friend. I don't know what to tell you. He loves porn. What are we talking about? What do you want me to do with the knowledge that he is addicted to porn? Like, if I happened to tell somebody, that there was some vice that they got a hold of. If they get addicted to that, am I responsible? You know, if you have a buddy who's a degenerate gambler was not a degenerate gambler, and you happen to bring them into the world of horse racing or some kind of gambling, and they become addicted to gambling, is it upon you to get them out?
No, that's it. Damage is done, my friend.
Sorry, I don't think it is.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. So Uncle Moak, he has a big problem.
Yeah, big problem.
Big problem with the porn. So we find out Clive Owen, he is shook by the insufficient praise. Am I missing anything?
No, he does another performance, doesn't go as well.
He's terrible. The reviewers are coming soon.
And so he's got one more big preview show to come on. So Larry David recommends to Jeff, so go, hey, but what do you think about Richard Lewis' girlfriend, professional crier.
Professional crier. Who he's already called out on her. For her shenanigans.
For her shenanigans.
He tried to get the stole back, slapped him in the face.
Yeah, and then Richard Lewis comes up to him too and says, hey, bro, I got a big problem with my girlfriend. she keeps crying and getting stuff from me.
Yeah, keep getting stuff from me, and then all of a sudden it turns it off. He goes, yeah, she's duping you, just like she did with the stole. But either way, they've put all this aside and have hired her to fix Clive Owen because they need a professional crier. They need a professional crier to try and get him back on track before this big performance. And performance is going pretty shoddy, and then all of a sudden, in the midst of it, she busts open the waterworks, and then Clive Owen's got his mojo back.
And then everybody else around her starts crying, too. Worked like a charm.
Worked great.
Yeah.
So then, once again, after the play, though, Larry's trying to get the stole back. Yeah. He's trying to get it back. He ends up in a little bit of a ruckus with her.
Yep.
The cops come over. She's putting on the fake crying. Then Larry tries to put on his own fake cry. Not as good. So the cop's like, you want to take a walk? He goes, I'm out of here. I'm fine. I'm out of here. But this is in an occurrence of happenstance. Who walks out?
Clive Owen.
Clive Owen. He sees Carol, and all of a sudden they're a couple now.
Yeah, hit enough.
So we have that, and then what ends up happening? They go to are they back at Cheryl and Green? Is this the part where he ends up? No, that's the end of the episode. What is the part where? What do they do after that? They go back to Jeff's for dinner, and because he ends up having a date with her at their house.
He does go to their house.
Yeah, and they're going to her house
or to Jeff's house,
right?
And then he finds out. They just casually mentioned to Clive that
she goes, well, what do you do?
They go, oh, I'm a professional crier.
I'm a professional crier. What is that? I go weddings, funerals, wherever you need me. I go and I cry. So he's now realized all those things that he fell in love with her are a lie.
Yeah.
They're a lie. And then she ends up, she's like going to leave in the middle of the road. He tries to stop her and the stole ends up in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
And I only assume that she got hit by that truck.
Yeah, she went to go get it, and the truck was coming on, and then it cuts away. it cuts away, and then I believe then it goes to Uncle Moak's house.
Uncle Moak's
house. Oh, don't forget Cheryl.
So what ends up happening? Oh, first we got to talk about the. Then we get the look at the penis detector.
Yes.
We get the first look at the urinal cube. That's when Leon comes in. He lets you know that his junk's too big for this. not going to work.
Yeah.
So there may be some modifications that need to come. They end up back at the house, and the sex doll still out there.
He's mad at Leon. Why haven't we got rid of this?
Yeah, why haven't we gotten rid of it? Falls out of the closet. He decides he's going to take matters into his own hands. Unfortunately, the way he does it is he gets the little uh, the little valve open.
Yeah. Boop,
like as if you were for a pool. And he decides to start squeezing out the air.
Yeah,
the way he does so is bending over the sex doll, and he looks in a very compromising position to where the cleaning lady sees him and what looks like him fornicating the blow-up doll. She leaves in disgust, and who walks in right after that but Cheryl.
Cheryl.
Who is...
Well, because Cheryl wasn't believing Ted Danson early on. She had to go see for herself.
And so she sees this, and
she just turns around and walks out.
Just mortified. She leaves, and the episode ends with Larry giving the blow-up doll to Uncle Moke.
Which fixes his porn problem.
Fixes his porn problem, but everybody thinks that Larry has had sex with a blow-up doll. So that is Curbcast. That is episode 5. Did I miss anything, Robbie? Were there any big details, I think, that we left out? Is there anything that you're looking forward to that still needs to be answered?
Well, I know, like, you know, the Latte Larry's is going to get further built.
Yes.
And there's going to be another run-in with Mocha Joe Ted Danson.
Ted Danson and Larry are going to definitely have a confrontation over this blow-up doll.
And then Cheryl, you know, he's got to explain to Cheryl that the whole situation with the blow-up doll, really, that wasn't what it looked like.
There's going to be, I imagine the mailman's going to come back into this as well.
Yeah.
Because how did Ted Danson find out? To rat to Cheryl that he has the blow-up doll.
And maybe Larry sends us something, a package to Ted Danson's way.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, here we go.
I like that. Fantastic. So that is Curbcast, everybody. We'll be back next week with another episode, recapping episode 6. I love the longer episodes.
The 40-minute episode's
great. It's so good. We have so much more to cover on it.
It's kind of like the Chris Bosh interview. Like, it's super long.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I didn't mean to. That wasn't my fault, though. I roped us into a new game, Ask Tobin. So. Which, by the way, if I could just say, you're crazy trading Chris Bosh. I mean, trade Bam Adebayo. I mean, you comparing Bam Adebayo to Justice Winslow? What are we doing here? What are we doing? I love you, Ira. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's Curbcast for this week. We will be back next week.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.